KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
You know, I'm a 6'5", 250-pound person, and I was just telling Mary Perdue. Mary Gray Perdue is the area director for Johnny and Friends, and she's joined today by Riley Norman. She's a ministry operations coordinator for Johnny and Friends New Mexico. I was just telling them both that, you know, I'm walking down the sidewalk, and I see somebody in a wheelchair, and I'm embarrassed to say this. I actually care about that person, but I'm afraid. I don't know if I'm going to hurt their feelings by what I say or whatever. So I'm going to start the show with, how do people in wheelchairs want to be treated?
Boy, I'll say just like you and me. They are people that have feelings and emotions, and they go through a lot already, from being excluded to being misunderstood. And I'm actually going to punt this over to Riley and ask Riley, can you give us some best practices?
Yeah, say hi.
So Riley, I just met you and I said hi. So why am I so afraid to say that to somebody in a wheelchair?
Because you don't want to get it, like you don't want to make a mistake.
Okay.
And a lot of people with disabilities want you to know, like, it's okay to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
It is okay. If you come up and you say hi and you smile and you get it wrong, they're not going to be like, all right, don't talk to me again.
Yeah.
They want you to come up and talk to them. They want you to say hi, and they want to be friends with you, and they want you to be interested in their lives and to show that interest.
Well, in preparation for today, I went over a bunch of stuff on your website. You have an amazing website. That is johnnyandfriends.org/new-Mexico. Not just New Mexico, new-Mexico.
Thank you.
People can find out all kinds of things. So today we're going to talk about Wheels for the World, retreats and getaways, and there's a whole bunch of those. I'm going to talk about your schedule a little bit. You have a barn dance. Oh, yes, we are talking about dancing on ABQ Connect. respite is really an important thing because you're not just caring for people with disabilities, you're also taking care of their caregivers, which is cool, super cool. Here's one that I didn't really read before, and that was the education and training. So multiple times we've had people that are in wheelchairs and they'll come on the show. I always ask them, we're on the campus of Calvary Church. We're not really a Calvary thing. We're a radio station on the grounds, and they take care of us. We work with all the evangelical churches that we can. We basically work with everybody that calls Jesus Lord.
Love it.
So I'm here asking, is this an accessible campus? But you actually provide some training and stuff for that. So I just wanted to give everybody an overview. We're going to be with Mary Gray Perdue and Riley today the entire hour. And I think it's going to be an amazing time. So let's start with, tell me what Johnny and Friends is all about.
Well, I love that you brought up education, because something that we do that a lot of people don't know about is we will go into churches for free and train volunteers, pastoral staff, how to make your church a welcoming place for people with disabilities.
So you'll teach them how to say hi?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And we'll put you on a special list, Jim.
but I know that sounds so trivial, but it's so important.
Well, I tell you, since in the last 5 months, I have run into 4 different people that have told me how hurt they were by their church. Surprised me. One person, they were asked to leave their church. His sister had a disability. She was paralyzed. And when they got back out of the hospital, the church asked them not to return because they couldn't accommodate her. Another person, her daughter was in VBS. Her daughter has Down syndrome and a little bit of brain damage. And the pastor's wife pulled kids away from her, saying she's scaring them. And I said to this person, did you stop and ask, or did you take the moment to educate? And she said, no, I'm tired. This has gone on for so many years in so many different places that I kind of lost the will to educate others about how to treat my daughter. And 4 different times, churches have hurt people's feelings. So we want to come into those churches and we want to help them learn how to welcome a child with autism who's can get a little loud. You know, how do you set up childcare? How do you set up special rooms? How do you welcome someone into a service? I mean, I'm not sure that services are supposed to be really quiet all the time, but you certainly can make accommodations. So we're happy to come in, and we've done this with lots of churches in this area, in Rio Rancho, Albuquerque. In fact, we now have a network of churches in southeastern New Mexico that we've gone in and trained. So we'd love to come in and help educate.
But Mary, you're talking about church leadership.
Yes.
Could be the women's group, the men's group, the
yes.
pastors, whoever. Anybody in leadership has to say, we love these people and want them here.
Right.
And so we kind of need to know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Riley, you've done some of this.
Yeah. So not specifically the church trainings, okay. of course, but I started serving with Johnny and Friends in disability ministry when I was 14, about uh-huh. 10 years ago now. And now I'm working on staff and I love it. But I started off at my church with the youth group serving in disability ministry for respite events, where we were bringing in families with disabilities where they could drop off their kids and go have a date night, or they could take their oldest kids out who are typical, as we would refer, and they could go have one-on-one time with their kids who typically wouldn't get that attention.
So the kids with the disability are staying with you in this mm-hmm. respite. We're going to talk about how churches, maybe even businesses, could do that
yeah,
for
absolutely.
People. Again, you mentioned this mom was kind of fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
So Riley, talk about that a little bit more. You're actually, frankly, just playing and having fun with kids that are there with
Think of respite almost like VBS, but like times 10 on awesomeness. It's awesome. So you're starting off with worship, then you're doing dinner, and then you're hanging out with them and doing what they want to do. You're talking about the Bible with them. You're sharing the gospel with them and having that one-on-one mentorship and discipleship with either a child with a disability or a sibling of a child with a disability, and talking about their lives and giving them that attention that other people wouldn't give them.
Yeah. Was that scary the first
yeah,
time?
Of course. It was so scary. But, you know, God doesn't call the equipped.
Yeah. But these are not scary people.
No.
We're kind of afraid.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah. we do training. So when a church decides that, yes, you know what, we're going to join this team. We are going to have a respite and welcome people from our community. It's a great outreach, by the way, for churches to do. But we will come in, Johnny and Friends will come in and train all of their volunteers for the respite. So yeah. they will then be equipped. Once you went through training, Riley, how was that?
I felt more ready, but it's definitely, it's something you have to take the step out to do, and then you get it. And then the more and more you do it, the more and more you're like, ah, yes, I know what I'm doing. I know how to do this. And it's more, it's almost like youth ministry, just in a different way. Where you're there on an individual basis to serve a family for what they need, not in a generalized
Mary started sense. By talking about a church that was uncomfortable with kids that had disability,
mm-hmm.
An autistic child, I think mm-hmm. you said, and maybe they make noises or they don't react properly, and a mom was afraid that the other kids would be scared.
Yes.
Riley was 14. She started this, maybe was a little tentative.
Yeah.
But pretty soon you weren't.
And it was never about the people with disabilities or the other kids with disabilities. It was more about, I was scared to get it wrong. Mm. I was scared to hurt somebody. I was scared to hurt someone's feelings or to disappoint the family, that I wasn't going to serve them well enough.
I know this sounds crazy, but if you take a typical child
mm-hmm.
and they're making a lot of noise, what do you do? You tell them to settle down. Do you do that with somebody with disabilities?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course. And people with disability want to be treated just like everybody else.
Right.
You know, it makes them feel normal, whatever that means, right?
Yeah, I'm really blessed by this conversation because, you know, I've actually talked to you about this a couple times. I've talked to Marcy about it. I talked to Sandy about it.
Sure.
And you all have the same reaction, but I think that you kind of have to learn this. Like I try to teach my children to greet people. Well, that was hard enough, right? You know, to say hello. I have five children. My son, Zach, I'll just use him as an example. He's third child, second son. And when he was two, he was very verbal, he could speak. But he wouldn't just say, "Hi, Mary, how are you?" He would go, "I really love your blue jacket." I mean, this guy's two, okay? And so I sense that there are special things about people with disabilities, but maybe their body language is a little different. Maybe they're not looking at you directly. Well, that's one thing I learned is that sometimes they don't look right at you, but they hear everything you're saying. So the training, yes. Is that available basically for churches now?
Absolutely. Someone just has to reach out to us and let us know they're interested in having the training, and we will come in. We have Liz Tafoya, who is our ministry relations manager, and she works with churches throughout New Mexico and Colorado and helps train their staff and their volunteers. She's doing it with several churches right now. And it again, it's free. We want to come and help educate, and then the church can customize how they want to use it in their church.
Let's play off of Riley's volunteering as an STM. Does that sound like I know what I'm talking about? Because I don't.
Short-term missionary.
I kind of got on Mary about that. She was doing the military thing on me, giving me
You're welcome.
initials and acronyms and things. So you started at 14. What's a short-term missionary? I mean, because you're taking families to camp, you've got this respite you already mentioned. What other kinds of things were you involved with?
So on the most basic sense, a short-term missionary in regards to our retreats and getaways is a one-on-one mentor buddy who hangs out with a child with a disability or a child without a disability for the week of camp. They're there to share the gospel, and they're there to serve the family by being this person's best friend for the entire week.
Yeah.
You're doing what that person wants to do. If they want to go on the zip line 12 times in 1 hour, you're going on the zip line. But we pair off buddies with the children who come based on what they both like to do, and if we think they'll be a good matchup, and we make sure that each thing is led by God in that, and that they are going to have that connection and get to share the gospel with that person.
I got to say, if there's a parent listening right now that has never experienced coming to something like Family Retreat or a Warrior for Warrior Getaway, we go to great lengths to find people who feel called by God to come and be their child's buddy. And we've had people hesitant in the past. My sister, when she got to retreat last year for the first time, and the buddy came up and introduced herself, my sister said, "Oh, no. Other people need buddies for their children, but I don't. This is my full-time job. This is my child. I know her needs." And little by little, that buddy was able to extrapolate Karen from Rita. And pretty soon I'm watching Rita run this way, ziplining, run this way, water slide. And then she's with all the women in the women's small group. And they're all talking and sharing stories and encouraging each other. It just is, it's an amazing thing to see as the family lets go and says, "Okay, we're gonna have a time of respite ourselves. Dad has his own group, Mom has her own group, and siblings have their groups. And everybody has a wonderful time and some time with God."
And let's talk more specifically. You have a family retreat scheduled for June 24th through the 28th. I want to talk about cost, because there is a cost involved, but there's ways that people that are listening right now could help.
Oh, yes.
And you also coach those families on how to raise money. They do bake sales. It's still a really, really good deal.
Yes.
An amazing time of rest and fun for everybody involved. Warrior Getaways, those are very special. And typically the Warriors are sponsored. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes. In fact, we underwrite it. So I raise funds in order to pay for the Warrior and their family.
Okay, well, I'm going to have you tell us what all this is.
Okay.
Then you also do a marriage getaway. You have a barn dance.
Yes.
We've already kind of talked with Riley about the respite stuff, and then we'll talk about education and training. And then I also want to talk about Wheels for the World. That kind of happens every March, right?
Yes. Well, wheelchair collection happens all year long.
Oh, it does?
Yes, okay. All year long. We just do a special focus in March for Disability Awareness Month.
Well, we're going to talk about that in maybe our third section today, okay, because people don't realize how other cultures treat people with disabilities. Mm. I've already shared that I was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. By the way, I've improved a little, you guys.
Good job.
Since I met you guys a few years ago. I have gotten more comfortable. You just get comfortable doing it. I'm not sure that I would, I don't know if I'd be a great conversationalist yet, but probably need to try that.
Just right? Like talking to a normal person.
Just like talking on the radio.
Yep.
Okay. Talk to us about family retreats.
So family retreat is an incredible week of, it involves respite, it involves play, it involves getting in the Word of God, it involves spiritual renewal, just on every level that you can imagine, people are nurtured.
So here's mom and dad, let's say they have a child with a disability, and then there's some siblings.
Yes.
The family goes, Riley has an STM that takes kind of care of the person that has a disability, and the rest of the family kind of gets a little rest. They're still there and loving on them and everything else, but they're not responsible for them.
Yeah. In fact, every child has an STM.
Oh.
So the typicals and those okay. with special needs all have their buddy, and then they all have the groups they go into. So by age or by mental acuity, they are split up by groups. And then we have teachers, so leaders who also volunteer their time, who have been in training now for 3 weeks, and they'll do another training coming up. And by the time camp comes, they're equipped and ready to do some Bible stories and some crafts, and we have a talent show and just a whole lot of...
Do you need volunteers right now for the
yes,
family
please.
Retreat?
We do.
How do people get in touch with you?
They would go to our website, johnnyandfriends.org, new-mexico, and sign up, find the family retreat. And when they go in there, they sign up to be a buddy or an STM.
I love it.
Yeah.
A short-term missionary.
Yes, very good.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Mary Gray Perdue and Riley. She's... Now the Ministry Operations Director, Riley Norman, it's fun that you came today.
Thank you.
Because I like the 14-year-old getting involved with this. You've been in been doing this for 10 years, really, and that's really a lot of experience. We'll be back on ABQ Connect talking about Johnny and Friends. Stay with us.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Riley Norman and Mary Gray Perdue with Johnny and Friends New Mexico are in studio with us today. Mary is the area director and Riley's the operations coordinator. I don't know if I'm a very good coordinator of anything. I had 5 children, so I think I coordinated okay. They're all grown and doing okay. So that was fun. Hey, right before the break, we were talking about lots of things coming up. So you have a family retreat. I want people to understand that the retreats are by design ministering to everybody involved, the person with the disability, the families who are caregivers, and maybe they get a little respite. Although respite's like you're supposed to rest, but you're really taking them through all kinds of activities. So they might be more tired, but just mentally and stuff, they don't have the responsibility of the caregiving.
Yes.
For while they're at camp. Family retreat coming up June 24th to the 28th. Warrior getaway. We got to find out what that is. July 1st through the 5th. Marriage getaway. And you need volunteers and there's some urgency to
Correct.
This.
Correct. In fact, these families coming, I'm going to tell just a quick little story that one of the families who came to a family retreat for the first time said it was the first time that she could relax and not have to worry about what other people were thinking about her as a parent because of the way her child was behaving because of his disability. Mm. So that being said, I want to encourage people to think about ways to come alongside and support us because we have families who cannot afford to come to camp. This is a really big deal for them. They will try doing bake sales. They'll reach out to, of course, all their relatives.
What's the cost typically for a family?
$450.
Okay, look, guys, and I don't
per member,
I don't
per
mind
family.
Talking to our listeners. $450
per person.
Per person to go to camp is really a good deal because they're there for is it 3 days, 4 days?
4 days.
4 days.
Every meal, all of the activities, as well as board, room and board.
Okay. And you guys are using the Lone Tree Camps. What a great camping program they have. But
yes,
they have overhead, and so you guys have to pay them, and
yes,
this is the way it's deferred. But I think that's why people listen, Mary. They listen to the station because they're trying to find a way they can help.
Love it.
Tell us other ways you're coaching families that are interested to help them raise money to go to
sure.
camp.
Well, we recommend they post it on their social media, of course, and then reach out to their church, see if there is any way they can come alongside. A lot of them reach out to their family and friends. That's ways they can do it. And then we try to provide scholarships. So right now we are raising funds to provide those scholarships. And in fact, right now it's May match time, which means we have about five people locally who have come alongside and said, we want to give this gift as a match. So that anybody decides, okay, you know what, I want to sponsor a family, or I want to sponsor two people, and they provide $900, it will be doubled. So they will have double the impact, and we'll be able to help four people.
I love that. And again, you can give right on the website, which is Johnny, J-O-N-I, and friends.org, J-O-N-I, and friends.org. /New-Mexico. And that's how Johnny and you can get to the New Mexico site if you just go to johnnyandfriends.org. It takes a little while to navigate. So just put a /, and go to New-Mexico. I want to ask Riley, what changed you? Did that change your life when you were 14 and you did this?
Yeah. I mean, I'm here now. Johnny and Friends, really, it touched my heart. And volunteering for Johnny and Friends changed how I viewed my faith. It changed how I viewed how I lived my life. I really learned that my life was not my own, and that this was a unique ministry that God was calling me to.
That sounds kind of counterculture message.
Our
culture today is not saying your life is not your own. In fact, they're talking to you about your personal rights, and you ought to just let everybody else go and do what you want. And you're talking about something that's contrary to that.
Yeah. My life is not meant to be lived for me. Mm. It's meant to be lived for others, in service of others. And that's what I learned while volunteering at Johnny and Friends.
And what's the result of that? Is your life more full?
I would say so. Even in the darkest seasons, I know that, well, God obviously loves me and is going to take care of me and provide for me. But I also have that power to help others through their dark seasons and help them.
And when you do that, do you feel like God has used you and worked through you? And then is that amazing?
It's amazing. I mean, I remember being 14, 15, volunteering at camp, and I would reach to the end of it and I'd be exhausted. I would have done just about everything I could have done at camp with my camper. And I would be exhausted, but I'd be so fulfilled. And I'd honestly feel a little bit of respite from it. Almost like I was served at camp too.
I think that's something that we hear often at the end of camp. We always meet with everybody at the end of every day to find out how things are going. And then at the very end, we talk with the families and the SDMs and leaders and get feedback from them. And something that the SDMs typically say is that they were blessed. Their time, they thought they were there to serve and I'm going to do all this. And then they come away going, whoa, God just changed my life.
Yeah.
It blessed me so much. A little bit of maturity for some of the younger ones, a little growth there.
Are there relationships that happen at camp that are ongoing?
Yes. So my buddy that I buddied with for 4 years at camp, I had a long-term buddy. It was awesome. I'm still friends with them. And even though they've moved states, I still get updates from them and talk with them and get photos and Christmas cards and everything.
That's special. But again, it's something that most people don't take a chance on to even go learn it. And I think you're really calling people in the show to venture out, have some fun, bless somebody else's life. What kind of training do people get, Mary?
Oh, boy. We take the STMs through. They come up to camp a day before.
Okay.
And they spend that time training and getting to know information about their camper. So that when the families arrive, we do a parade. They drive through. We have posters and welcoming them. And from that moment on, that child is with their STM. And so the training is, here's how you treat somebody with this disability. Here's how, you know, someone in a wheelchair, Jim, you get down on their level and you look them eye to eye, maybe pull up a chair. Because uh-huh. someone's neck hurts from looking up so much, right?
I was going to say, if I get down on my knee, I might have to have the rescue squad come and pick me up.
We'll bring you a chair.
There you go. Okay, so we've been applying most of this to family retreat. Mm-hmm. But you have a warrior getaway July 1st through the 5th. Talk to us about warrior getaway. What's that?
Warrior getaway is another really special time for veterans who have visible and invisible wounds. We find that people sometimes are hesitant to come because they thought, oh, I'm going to have to share. And it's like, no, no one's going to make you say or
so
do
it's
anything.
It's not a therapy session.
There are practitioners there who can help when
if
needed.
You want to talk, you can.
Bet. You bet. And spouses of warriors get their time together. So they're in a group where they can share together and commiserate. And the kids of the warriors have their groups. So we are all about finding where people are at and helping point them to the faith so that they're not
alone. I want to address that. So you don't have any religious criteria for people to attend this. They don't have to have written a dissertation on, you know, their testimony of how they came to Christ. They could not have ever been to church in their life and
Correct.
Be welcome.
We will ask them that question okay. in their application. However, we meet people right where they're at. And we want them to come broken and, you know, all the different things that have happened to somebody who has been in war or their family members. Because it changes people. I have a brother who was in Vietnam. And he came back a different man, and we didn't know what to do.
That was one of those invisible wounds that you were talking
yes.
about?
Yes, and it was so long ago, we didn't know about PTSD. And as his family members, we loved him, and we wanted him around. And whenever we would get too close, he would do something to make us think, well, that wasn't nice, he's kind of being a jerk. And then he would disappear for a while. Mm. And then he would show back up, and he did this his whole life after service. And at 49, he became one of the statistics of veterans that one every 65 minutes commits suicide in the U.S. Worse than that, New Mexico has the fourth highest rate of suicide for veterans in all of the United States.
Yeah, that's just terrifying.
Yeah, we need to be there. We need to help them through this. We need to get them on a path where they can realize it's okay. You know, whatever things you think you've done, is there a moral injury here? We have retired colonels that come and they will speak from first person and their own experience of things that they've done in the past. And they talk about how to work through all this.
Mm. And
heavy duty.
And the important thing about retreats and getaways is that, Johnny, it's not a one-time deal. You're not coming to camp once and kind of, oh, we're just going for a vacation. We're a bridge. We're a bridge to the local church. We're a bridge to getting you connected, to getting you resources, and to getting these families at a place where they feel like they're a part of community and that they are hearing the gospel and that they're active in their church. They're serving and they're helping others and they're being served.
Exactly.
How does I know we're talking about warrior getaway, but I'm kind of thinking about a parent who's really physically tired, mentally tired, taking care of a disabled child, giving them all the love they possibly can, everything they have, working crazy hours, being home, paying for caregivers, all of that. But when they see you love on their child, is that an encouragement to them?
Absolutely. It is, and even beyond words, sometimes they can't even express it. They're in tears watching their child have fun and being taken through all the normal things people do where we've adapted everything for them so they can experience things that they've never experienced before. And often the parents will say, I didn't even know he could do that. Like, we would never have put him on a horse.
Yeah.
I remember the flags for summer, just bringing up a family. I watched their son, Brady, who has cerebral palsy, go down the zip line, and he was terrified. He hasn't gone back again. But we made our zip line accessible for somebody who is a wheelchair user to go down and made special harnesses so that his body was supported just so he can experience life, the way everybody else does.
And he did it.
Yeah.
And a further note on Brady is he did not want to go horseback riding. And the first year he did not. And the second year near the end, he finally did. And he had so much fun. And now every year he goes horseback riding because it's adaptive. There are people all the way around the horse to make sure he's safe. And he feels like he conquered one of his fears.
That's amazing. Mary Gray Perdue is the area director with Johnny and Friends, and she's joined today by Riley Norman. She's the new ministry operations coordinator, and Riley's been involved with Johnny and Friends New Mexico long time, since she was 14, 10 years ago, sharing with us today about how she's volunteered. The ministry has a family retreat coming up June 24th to 28th, maybe something you want to take advantage of. Go to Johnny, J-O-N-I, and friends.org/new-Mexico. Get all the information. You can also call the ministry at 505-835-5263. Again, nonprofit international ministry. I'm going to come back and talk about Johnny Erickson Tata a little bit when we come back, because I don't think not everybody knows her story, and it's incredible. And I think people need to know about that. And then we're going to talk. You have a whole bunch more things coming up, and we'll talk about all that when we come back on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Mary Gray Perdue, the area director for Johnny and Friends New Mexico, in studio with Riley Norman. She's the ministry operations coordinator. Really appreciate your time. This is always a fascinating subject to me, because sometimes other cultures, this has been shared to me, I think, by Mary and Marcy when she's come on. Like when you do Wheels for the World, we in the United States, and I've been told this, can pretty much get a wheelchair.
Correct.
Regardless of your socioeconomic whatever, you can get a wheelchair. But that's not true in other countries. Is that right?
No. In fact, they have zero access to wheelchairs. So as Johnny and Friends, part of what we do is collect wheelchairs, things that people will throw away, and we want them, because we then get them to a prison, Springer Prison locally, where the inmates have been trained how to rehab these chairs and make them like new.
And by the way, they feel like they're part of your ministry.
They absolutely are.
Because I talk with some of the leadership up there, and they're proud of having gotten these wheelchairs and that these are going to people that are going to be helped.
Yeah, and we are so grateful, and they absolutely are a part of our ministry. And once we have about 300 here locally, we get them over to Springer, where they take care of rehabbing them. And then we get them on a shipping container and take them to different places in the world where there is no access to any kind of mobility. We've had someone in Albuquerque, a woman who donated her son's wheelchair. He died cerebral palsy at 28. And we got it to a country where the girl it was given to had been in her hut for 12 years because mom could no longer pick her up. She was too big. And for the first time, she was placed in the chair. She had a smile that went from ear to ear. She couldn't contain it. Mom was crying. Everybody was crying. And the girl just looked up at her mom and said, "I want to go to the mall." She had just been, she was a girl. She wanted to get out. Now, we also bring a Bible. We also talk about and share the gospel.
You have a whole team that goes, right?
Absolutely. Yes. We have physical therapists and seating engineers and people there praying the whole time. And we train people locally. We'll train that family how to maintain that chair. We have people in the community that train how to be seat engineers so that the help can go on.
Yeah, I love that. I never knew that cultures would kind of treat people that couldn't walk or something like that, they would just almost dispose of them. They're in the back room.
Yeah. Sometimes they're looked at as if they're cursed. This must be sin in mom's life. Or if they're, even thinking that way, it's this person is cursed. They're on the ground. They're crawling because they have no way to stand up and walk. So us coming along and teaching also has reverberation throughout the village. Mm. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, and boy, just to give somebody that access is amazing. So that's Wheels for the World. You collect chairs. I will tell you just a personal story, and I think you know this because I brought some wheelchairs and I bought some walkers.
Yes.
Because I lost both of my parents in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So they had various wheelchairs and walkers and different things, and I thought, well, I got to get these over to Johnny and Friends. And I, of hope those all went to good use.
Absolutely. We so appreciated those, Jim.
Well, I think everybody is going to have that. We're blessed in this country to have an abundance of that type of thing. Again, even if you are very poor or very rich, you kind of have the benefit of having those through whatever mechanism. It could be through Medicaid or Medicare or whatever. And Medicare just poured all this stuff on my parents in their later, during the time that they were diminishing and they went on hospice, and you get all this equipment and they don't want it back. You have to, so why not give it to a ministry that's really going to give it to somebody and take care of people? So Family Retreat, June 24th to 28th, Warrior Getaway, July 1st through the 5th, Marriage Getaway, the 12th through the 13th. What's a marriage getaway?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a time for families experiencing a disability. So it could be a spouse, or they could have a child with a disability, where they will come to a local hotel where we've set up this getaway, and they have time with a pastor, a time of refreshment, a time of encouragement, but also some good teaching about relationship, and with a twist, of course, in there about the effects of disability on a marriage.
And that can be negative sometimes.
Sure. Yeah. And well, hopefully through the teaching, they're being equipped with tools that help them get beyond that.
You mentioned, I think Riley kind of talked about long-term relationships. So many times people are trying to do things on their own. You guys really encourage community.
Yes. Absolutely. And in fact, a lot of times families who call us or reach out to us, because they've been hurt by a local church, don't go to church. And so we're a parachurch. Our goal is to hook them up, connect them with a local church who would be accepting of them.
Yeah. You gave me a list. I didn't actually ever know what respite was, but it's really cool. So you had, let's see what's coming up. April, we've got that passed. Okay, so July 19th, you got Trinity at the Marketplace doing respite. August 9th, September 13th, you got Paragon Church, New Covenant Church on October 3rd. Tell us how, and there's more, but tell us what respite is and how you've involved these churches and how that benefits families.
Oh, respite is 3 to 4 hours where the church commits to having volunteers that come in. They do their background checks and make sure everybody's safe. We come in and do training, unless the church, like Grace Church, has been doing it for so many years, they own theirs. Yeah. So they do the training. And then families come, they pre-register, and then they come and drop off either the child with a disability or all of their kids.
And there's not a cost.
No cost. Absolutely not. And then off the parents go to do whatever they want to do. I think I've said before, we have a single mom who sits in the parking lot in her car and takes a nap.
Wow.
Because she just needs a break.
Yeah.
Amazing. You just never know what's going on in the lives of people that are dealing with all this extra, I want to say work, but they don't see it as that. They see it as taking care of their family member.
So Riley, as a former volunteer since you were 14, everything we've talked about requires person power.
Yes.
You need people to help. Call people out. I mean, how can... Is there a high school Bible study? Is there a women's group? Who do you want to come and help you?
Anyone who's willing and God's calling to come do this, come. Please, we want you here. We want to share this ministry with you and share this little slice of heaven on earth, as we call it at Johnny and Friends, because it really is. We're seeing the Luke 14 mandate in effect. And what I'll read it out here right now, if you guys don't mind.
Sure.
Jesus says, or he uses a parable and he says, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full. Mm. He wants us to go quickly and serve these families, to bring them in and let these churches be full and represent what God wants the body of Christ to look like,
that it's not full if you are not welcoming people with disabilities, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Riley, who would come? Like, how did you get your community service hours?
Well, I got my community service hours when I was a high schooler by doing respite events and by doing family retreat. And I would go with my youth group. It was something we all did together, and we'd fundraise together and we'd connect together. And then we'd even have a debrief together.
Well, talk about, you were doing this at 14. So, mm-hmm. So let's say for 3 years, you were under 18 years old, and it was a blessing to you. And could you encourage other people in youth groups at various churches to get involved with Johnny and Friends?
Absolutely. If you need a missions trip for your youth group, let this be it. Because it changed my life and it changed my youth group's life. And we see at our family retreats now, there are youth groups coming in from Trinity at the Marketplace or Paragon. We're also seeing women's groups coming in and serving together, Bible study groups. We're seeing people who want to make this a community event.
I love this. Is this really easy?
To sign up?
No. I think you know where I'm going. Is it just always smooth, or is kind of caring for other people hard?
It's going to be hard. Life's hard.
Yeah.
but
you have
rewarding.
Joy about that, Riley.
Yeah.
Explain that.
This is such a unique ministry, and it's full of joy. It is full of God's blessing and God's joy. And there's no other way to describe it. It doesn't make sense, because you're coming in, and I remember people running the entire week, getting their steps in at this camp. But at the end of it, they have a smile on their face because they've served and they've done what God's called them to do.
Yeah. I got to say to the pastors out there who are listening, and the youth pastors, if you're saying, maybe I'm really not sure, call us and come and visit camp. We have a visitor's day where we will take you through and show you everything that's going on. We want to invite you in. So give us a call and come and check this out. If you're beyond that, if you think, no, we can do this, have your youth group, your youth pastor, or your pastor make an announcement at church and connect with us, and we will take you through the whole thing, all the steps, how to get involved and how to change the lives of people in your congregation.
Yeah. When we come back, and I meant to do it last segment, but I kind of need people to know who Johnny Erickson Tata is. The story is amazing. We're going to have one final segment with Mary and Riley. Their phone number is 505-835-5263. They have an urgent need right now for both people to sponsor families, sponsor veterans, to go to these getaways, have some fun, have some respite, hear the gospel, be encouraged, develop long-term relationships. So we're going to come back and talk about Johnny a little bit, and then some of the education and training things that are available, and that'll take us up to the top of the hour. So we'll be right back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Johnny and Friends New Mexico is a ministry, international ministry, started by Johnny Erickson Tata. We've had the fortune of being able to interview Johnny a couple times.
Love
just
that.
Just so our listeners know. This is a very active woman, 17 years old, dives into a lake, thinks that it's deep water, it's a foot deep, and she breaks her neck. Quadriplegic. You can come up with a scenario that you know, all of us who are not quadriplegics, we might think, oh gosh, if I was a quadriplegic, I couldn't move, I couldn't do this or that, I couldn't do anything. Well, Johnny Erickson saw it, didn't believe that. She believed that God had a special purpose for her, no matter what. I'm sure there was difficulty. She did share with us some of the emotions and some of the things. Even today, you know, she can't do this or that, and she might want to, but she trusts God with it. And now this is an international ministry. I mean, it's just all over the place. That's going to lead me to maybe an oversimplified question, but there's lots of people with church buildings. Calvary Church one. Legacy Church, Citizen Church, so those are three big churches. But I wonder how many of us ever called somebody that was in a wheelchair to say, well, how should we design access to our building?
Right.
You know, I don't know if architects do that. I hope they do. But you guys actually offer some of those services to help churches plan.
We do. We do. And in fact, I would say nowadays, if you purchase a building and you're going to do tenant improvements, there's typically a legal requirement to do some ADA improvements. And there's like a ratio in there. We also have...
But what's legally required doesn't give a person access.
No, it's not about that. It's about a dollar amount. That's what that ratio is all about. Yeah. So with Johnny and Friends, we have a place on our website where churches can go and apply for a grant. And in fact, individuals can, where we have a matching grant in there where we can help them make their improvements. It's small, but it's a good start. And we will come in and take a look, walk through their campus and say, you know, have you thought about this? You know, it's great that you have handicapped parking places. How far away from the door are they? And where's the ramp to get in, right?
Yeah.
And we actually had a church who wanted to make someone a deacon, but because the pulpit was up three stairs, they didn't. It was like, let's just move that pulpit down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes people are thinking in one way and they just need someone to come alongside and say, hey, let's think out of the box here. How can we best do this and welcome people in?
Yeah, and I know that there's people, like I was in a very old building this past week up in Santa Fe, and the offices were upstairs, no elevator. I mean, absolutely beautiful building. But I actually asked the question, I said, could a person that's disabled be on your staff? And they said, well, absolutely. We're not going to bring them upstairs, but they would have an office down here. Now, that's not ideal. That's not perfect. I mean, that's just... you know, the way things are.
Yeah.
But I think God has some purpose in that. I mean, I can't imagine God's purpose in paralyzing a 17-year-old woman or allowing her to be paralyzed. I don't think God does that, but allowing that to happen. But the number of people that have come to faith in Christ through Johnny and Friends is absolutely amazing. And here's the thing I like best about it. You haven't just talked to people. I think James is the one that talks about, you know, hey, if you come up to somebody that's hungry and you say, oh, well, God bless you and hope you have a great day.
Right.
What good is that? You're actually meeting the physical needs of people.
Sure.
And that's why I think Johnny and Friends is a very special ministry.
It really is. And Johnny is real. She went through depression. She went through not wanting to live, but didn't have the way to take any kind of action. Now she is in so much pain. She's in chronic pain. And yet when you hear her on her daily spots on radio, you hear the joy of the Lord over and over. She is so inspiring. And in fact, as a ministry, our goal a year ago, December, was to be in 23 countries. And by that year, we were in 44 countries. It's like, okay, you know, obviously God inspired. And we're reaching people all over the world. And it really is with the mission of let's get the gospel out there. Let's help people understand that this life is temporal. We're here for a short period of time. We, of course, want to make people's lives better. We want to come alongside. We want to teach. We want to help. But we also want to think about what's really important, and that is our next home.
There's a lot of neat education and training. Go to that tab on the website. It's Johnny, J-O-N-I, and friends.org/new-Mexico. And you can get all the information about education training, their certificate programs on being advocates for people that have special needs. You can learn how to start a special needs youth ministry. Mm. You can start a special needs children's ministry. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't know if a lot of churches do that. I'm going to actually ask the question whether we have that at Calvary Church. I don't know if we do. So I better find out.
There you go.
There's autism in the church, a lot of those kind of things. Mary, we've got a couple minutes left. This is a special time of year where you have donors that have said, we will match donations that are made. So if somebody's listening right now and they want to give you $450 to sponsor a person at family camp, that's going to be matched.
Correct.
So that's actually paying for two people to go.
Correct. That's right. And these wonderful people who have stepped up and said, you know, we do want to inspire others. We want other people to understand that it's going to make a difference. And so we have a matching grant of $27,000.
That's great.
Just for the month of May.
Yeah. But you have a full summer of activities.
Yes.
June 24th to 28th, family retreats, warrior getaways, July 1st and 5th, marriage getaways, September 12th through 13th. You have churches like Paragon Church, New Covenant Church, Grace Church, Trinity at the Marketplace. They're all doing respites throughout the summer. Those are free. Those are provided for people to be free. Riley, I really am impressed that I know Paul had Timothy, and he was trying to tell Timothy all the time, don't despise being young. Do what God's called you to do because you're going to do miraculous things. So thank you for listening to God. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Call us out. What should we be doing?
Get involved. If you've never heard of Johnny Infants before, read her book.
Yeah.
Read her book about her life. Learn about what this ministry is doing and then ask your church, do we have a disability ministry? How do we get this started? What do I do? And get connected. And then call us, please. If you're interested in volunteering, we want to see you there.
And pray for us. We love knowing that people are out there praying for our staff, our volunteers, the ministry, the finances, everything. We want to be good stewards of what God has given us.
I love it. Mary Gray Perdue and Riley Norman, you can reach them at 505-835-5263.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.